12 secrets to a flat belly. 12 secrets to stock market success. 12 secrets to 3-hour orgasms. People line up to buy these books, right? Everybody wants flat belly, market success, and 3-hour orgasms. What, these books sell like crazy. Radio shows talking about this stuff, you know, burn up the airwaves. We're talking about secrets that God shares, and who cares? Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in this room, room?
Yeah, though, you just described every break on a TV and a radio show.
Is that how it, you are in the radio business?
Yeah,
tell me how it is.
That's it. You know, stock market success and
flat bellies
and sexual something or another. And but God's secrets, no, very few are interested. Very few are interested in knowing what God really has to say. Most people want to just adjust God to their life. They just want to.
That's right.
They just want to adjust God. They want to make God kind of as Martin. I'm going to quote Martin Zender for the second time.
Yeah, second time in two days. Yeah.
That to most people, God is their thing. As you put in How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, you know, Jesus is my thing, and we try to make God fit our mold rather than, you know, going to scriptures and find out what God is, what He's like, and what He wants us to know. And so God's secrets are, I don't think I've ever heard in my life a message, all my church years, on God's secrets.
No.
And Paul says he was an administrator of them.
How many? Yeah, and he says we're dispensers of the secrets of God. Paul was an administrator of them, and we're going to get to a verse here, 1 Corinthians 4:1. It says we're administrators of them.
We are administrators. Do you realize there's only one author I've ever read that took the time to discuss God's secrets?
And I think that would be A.E. Knock.
It was A.E. Knock.
Bullinger did it too. And he, I think Knock built a lot of his studies on the work of Dr. Bullinger.
Yeah, I was going to say Bullinger originated. Bullinger got it started. But my point being is I've never seen any mainstream or anyone in Christendom.
No.
So the most detailed work ever done was by A.E. Knock.
Yes, and Dan and I are standing on the shoulders of these great men. We're standing on the shoulders of Dr. Bullinger, who himself stood on the shoulders of other men. A.E. Knock gleaned much from Dr. Bullinger and expanded on it, and now we are basing these studies on the studies of these men, especially A.E. Knock, who wrote such detail on this. Yeah. He was one of those miners, M-I-N-E-R, that goes into the cave of the scriptures, sometimes seems like a dark and forbidding place, and sees the gold, brings it out, and puts it together in one place. But no, you're right. I haven't seen this stuff in one place. It was never talked about. It was never thought to be important, apparently. Because it's deep. You have to go deep.
Yeah, it's not the kind of it's not suitable to a church surrounding because it's not designed to entertain. It's not designed to appeal to the soul, to the sensations.
This program may not be suitable for soulish people.
Yeah, and so if you really, to be honest with you, if you want to enjoy church services and stuff like that, you just don't get into scripture. You just sprinkle it. But this is a situation where God is, like you said, people are not interested in the things of God, even though they may have the title God, you know, First Church of whatsoever, but they're not interested in God. You know what Paul said? Paul said, and I don't mean to get off topic, but this is important because this is a true statement. When Paul said this regarding Timothy, he says, for all are seeking their own, not that which is Jesus Christ. Paul says, yeah, here, Philippians 2:21, for all are seeking that which is their own, not that which is Christ Jesus. And when Paul's talking about all here, he's not talking about all the world or the heathen, we already know. He's talking about those who call themselves believers. They have very little interest in what's Christ's.
You know, one of the reasons the church doesn't get into this, I'm upset at the King James translators for making this mystery.
Yeah.
They translate this right down the line as mystery. A mystery is something that can never be known. It's just unattainable by the human mind. A secret, however, is unknown up until the time it's known.
Yeah.
And we talked about that yesterday, but I think that's an important point, that we're telling you things that can be known. You know, what do people tell us whenever we back them into a corner intellectually, like on a topic like the Trinity or a topic of free will? What do they say? What do they always say? Well, it's just a mystery. You can't understand it. That's the backstop that people use with us.
Yeah, we grew up Catholic, and that was a big word among the Catholics. Yeah,
you can't ask questions. It's just a mystery.
It's the mysteries. You know, the mysteries. They always talk about
the mystery of the Eucharist and all that, the mystery of how this piece of bread becomes the body of Christ. But we don't have those.
No.
And it sounds so intellectual to people. People almost want mysteries. They want to blow like dust in the wind, but we don't want mysteries.
No.
And we're giving God credit for revealing these things. But God is love, and he longs for a response. And so in order to get this response, he puts out these, he displays his heart. He puts himself out there, and he says, psst, psst, and he calls us behind the curtain and tells us stuff. And this is awesome. So I think foundationally we need to talk, we need to tell you about there are two axioms here concerning secrets.
What are they? Let's start them off.
Well,
Lay them on me, man.
Basic information. It seems so obvious, but nothing is obvious.
And what's an axiom again?
It's a cleanser that you use on your sink and in your bathtub.
Exactly, that's what I thought we were talking
about. That's right.
Yeah.
So axiom number one is that each of God's secrets was unknown until the time when it was revealed. That sounds so apparent. So
yeah, and that takes the word that, and that removes the mysterious element. For instance, I got a glass here on the table of water.
Yes, you do. I see it.
Now, if I were to cover it up, and you can't see it,
Where'd the glass go?
Right?
I can't see it. You got your book in front of it.
But the glass is there, and I'm bringing it. So there it is.
It's revealed.
Now, what was hidden before is nothing difficult. It's a glass of water.
Ah, I gotcha.
There was nothing difficult about
it. There's nothing difficult about that.
This is not a mysterious thing. It's just a glass of water. But you didn't know that until I told you about it.
That's right. I get it now.
That's the point.
That's very simple. Thank you. You just drank all that water.
And I didn't share any of it.
I noticed that too. Now, axiom number two is related. It's a corollary to axiom number one, and it is this, that these secrets must not be forced into previous revelations given at a time when God was hiding it.
There you go.
If people do that, they take the stuff that we know now and they try to see it back in 1 Kings or back in Exodus or back in Genesis.
Yeah.
It just ain't there. The reason it's not there is because it was a secret until the time it was revealed. Like Paul saying, behold, I tell you a secret. As soon as he says that, we need to realize that what he's about to say was never disclosed. And we can't look for it to have been disclosed in the Hebrew scriptures.
Yeah, or some of the Greek scriptures.
So now we're looking at overviews today. I think not until tomorrow we're going to actually start giving you overviews of all of them.
We'll give you all 12 of them tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to give you all 12 of them in a brief,
very brief
way, and then we're going to go into detail. But before that, we're going to take the broad view. We're going to look at the forest, and the first way we did that was telling you these axioms to keep in mind concerning these secrets. And now the secrets themselves are divided into two groups. Oh, we have to say this. All the secrets come on the heels of failure. That's a really cool thing. It's the old axiom where God closes a door and opens a window.
Right.
Every time God closes a door, like Adam, quote, fell in the garden. Oh, no. But that was the occasion for the revelation of what is known as the general secrets. Adam's failure became the occasion for the unveiling of general secrets. Now, the failure of the nation of Israel, which is really the burden of most of the scripture, that becomes the basis of special secrets, secrets concerning God's program with Israel and the earth, three of which we have something to do with. We'll be getting to that in detail.
Yeah, right.
That's big stuff.
It's
I love that
exciting.
Stuff. I know it's getting exciting.
You did make a comment.
You're not getting nervous, are you?
No. I like how you made that distinction. There are general secrets. And that's secrets that are connected with the failure of Israel. We'll bring those out. Those are important.
Yeah, so we have the failure of Adam and the failure of Israel. So you're going to look differently upon these failures.
Yeah.
You're going to see them as God sees them.
Yeah.
What are they? The Chinese have two symbols for crisis, I think. Maybe it's one symbol with two nuances of meaning. One, trouble, and two, opportunity.
Mm.
That's what they think of when they see the word crisis.
Mm.
It's either the Chinese or the Japanese. I look at it the same. I see this the same way, that a crisis in God's revelation is always the opportunity for God to show something else. Not that he's reacting to the crisis.
No, absolutely not.
He has this in his heart the whole time, and he uses the crisis to bring it out. All right, we got 12 secrets. Do we have time to get into these briefly?
No, we do not have time to get into the 12 secrets today. Are you kidding me?
Are
you trying to jam 12 secrets into 60 seconds?
I am. I'm one of them jammers. We can't do it.
No. We can't do it.
So what are we going to do to take up the last 3 minutes? Actually, we only have 2 minutes left. So we have to do something here. We got 2 minutes. You're looking at your Bible for a reason. You're opening up the Romans 3.
I was thinking of doing
3.
A juggling act. You think people would appreciate me doing a juggling act?
No, because we need video for that.
Oh, that's right. We're on radio.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's do it anyway.
All right, you ready?
All right, here we go. I'm going to do your juggling. Okay, ready? All right, wait a minute.
Let me take this cup of coffee.
You got a cup of coffee here.
All right. I'm going to take the lid off, so it's going to be
full of hot coffee.
All right,
here, let me take that off for you.
All right.
Take that plastic cup.
Plastic cup,
yeah,
too.
And take one of those yellow markers. No way you can juggle this coffee cup, the plastic water glass,
without spilling
and a yellow
water
marker.
Or coffee.
No way. If you do this, I will be stunned and amazed.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Let me get this position correctly.
Right. I'm backing up here a little bit. All right, go ahead.
You won't have to back up because I can do this. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Holy crap. Jared and
Look
I didn't know you could do that.
Watch this. Close my eyes.
Oh my gosh, folks. He's closing his eyes. He's juggling a plastic water glass, a styrofoam coffee cup, and a yellow marker.
All right, I'm going to stand up now.
Now he's standing up.
Move the chair back.
Move the chair back.
I'm just going to go between my leg. Ready?
Okay, no way. Holy sh! Oh my gosh. Sheridan, you've been hiding. You've been holding out on me all these years.
All right. Yeah, put it back. I didn't spill a thing.
You are so Ringling Brothers.
Yeah.
You are so Ringling Brothers.
I missed my calling. That was difficult, but you know what? Look at it. The coffee hasn't even here. Here's your coffee back.
I'm looking at your forehead. You didn't even break a sweat.
I am good at this. I can juggle anytime. I might do this at our next conference just to demonstrate my talent.
Yes, you should. Ladies and gentlemen, the era of miracles apparently is still upon us. You were all wrong about Pentecostalism and preterism. We'll be back tomorrow.